Hi, this is Allison Gingras, host of A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, your on-air book club. A Seeking Heart features daily live discussions, weekly giveaways, and author interviews. We don't just review books, we share them, and you're invited to participate by calling in or posting your comments on social media. The best part, no reading necessary. I got you covered. Please visit A Seeking Heart show page on breadboxmedia.com for showtimes and featured books. Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Happy last week of Advent, fourth week of Advent. I don't remember in my recent history of life, which of course this only doesn't happen very often, so I guess it's for everyone, that we have a full week of Advent. Christmas is next Sunday, so when we entered into the fourth week of Advent, we actually have 7 full days, which just feels so good, because sometimes you get to that last week of Advent and it's one day or 4 days, and it ensues into panic mode, which it really shouldn't, because you always have the 24 days, but sometimes it just feels like it's so short. So it's very exciting to have. I mean, I guess it is kind of dependent upon when Thanksgiving is, and that kind of seems that weekend. But anyway, I'm not really good at calendar time, but I do know that there's 25 days in December. So regardless of whether Advent is 4 full weeks or 3.5, I still have 25 days in the month to get prepared for the holiday. But, you know, I think one of the greatest things that's happened to me in over the last few years is not confusing anymore the preparation for the holiday, the secular part of the holiday, the cards, the presents, the decorations. Those are all wonderful things. I love them all. But really kind of separating out and preparing my heart for the coming of Jesus. Because this Advent season is always about preparing our hearts for the coming of Jesus. In kind of symbolically in Christmas and the, you know, his birthday, you know, looking at the nativity and the birth of Christ back 2000 years ago. But there's also another element that's really important for us to hold in our hearts and to remember, that we're all in the process of waiting for the second coming of Christ, and that we need to prepare ourselves much, much more than just having baked goods. Though maybe we can endear ourselves to Christ if he shows up at our door and we have some good cookies. If that's the way to get into heaven, I'm screwed. I can't bake. So hopefully there's much more to it than just being prepared with a really yummy frosted Italian type cookie. My cousin makes those and they are phenomenal. I'm kind of sad this year I won't be able to eat them because they're filled with gluten and dairy, but I have the memory of them, and that's something to hold on to, which I think really ties into the Advent season. We have the memory of Jesus's birth to hold on to, like that historic event. This really happened. This really happened. If you read the Gospel of Luke, this is eyewitness accounts. His birth is real. Jesus is a historic person who even people who don't believe in him as being the Messiah, the Savior, believe that he walked the earth, that he was a great prophet. But there's no denying, and this has been, I know I've mentioned this several thousand times this year, but this has been such a huge aha for me that's never happened before, that realizing that people, real people like you and I, historic people who lived on this earth, saw him on that cross. They saw the spear in his side, the water and blood flow from him, like that life force empty, literally empty. And then they saw him 3 days later and they ate with him. And that eating, that knowing that he wasn't a specter, he wasn't some spirit or ghost, but that he was fully resurrected. And he's the only one to be resurrected. My spiritual director, oh my goodness, what is up? With my voice, that's just not attractive. Little Demi Moore going on in there. It's only sexy on Demi Moore, not so much on the radio. Sorry about that. So my spiritual director just recently, we were met last Tuesday, just reminded me, or in this way actually taught me, that Jesus is the only one resurrected, that Lazarus is actually resuscitated, because he does face death again, where Jesus is not. He is fully resurrected, and he has new life, and he'll never face death again. And that's our hope. That's our example, our model, our understanding, that this is for all of us, that we will, you know, in Christ have new life, that we'll have eternal life with him. And then some point, the second coming, we'll all have resurrected bodies. I'm kind of holding out for the whole princess thing. I don't really care what my body looks like in the glorified state, though. In a glorified state, you know, it's going to look awesome. But I just really want to live up that whole princess thing. Like, if my dad's the king and Jesus, my brother, is a prince, then I think I need to be a princess. I expect in the afterlife a tiara and a ball gown. Let's think, if I'm the only one in it, I certainly will stand out. Where's that Allison? Oh, there she is. She's a little eccentric. She's the one in the princess gown with the shiny tiara. Come on, I can't be the only one who thinks about the fact that I'll be a princess and that there's a room for me in God's home. So if God's a king, then there's a castle and I got a room in it. And there's a banquet, Jesus tells us, that I didn't need to cook, and it's laid before me. And I don't care about gluten and dairy anymore. I can eat whatever's on that table. And my body doesn't care anymore either, because it's glorified. This is heaven. This is true heaven, really. So to prepare myself for it, to assure my entrance, because Jesus's work on the cross is redemptive. He opens up the gates from heaven, but my salvation is still being worked out. I am not merely saved because I accept Jesus as my Savior. I would love for that to be the truth, but it's not. And the scriptures are very clear that we need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. But I don't think that means we need to be afraid that we're not going to go to heaven. It means we need to be very aware of what God calls us to do, to participate in the redemptive work of Jesus. He died once for all and opened up heaven. But the Bible would not be as thick as it is if it was as easy as saying, I believe, therefore I'm going to enter heaven. And I personally, would never want to take that chance with my soul, because there's just so many wonderful things that the scriptures teach us that call us to be prepared, to continually to prepare, to confess our sins, to confess, you know, Jesus as our Savior. But also, you know, he says that we're to, you know, whatever we do for the least of his brothers, we do for him. And there's the separating of the goat and the sheep. And we're told, like, you know, we need to feed the hungry and care for the sick and take in the widows and the orphans, which, hey, check, did that one. Got one of those. Got the orphan, who's no longer an orphan. But there's so much that the Lord calls us to do, and not because we need this like checklist, but because we're called to be like God. We're called to be like Christ. He is holy. Because he is holy, we're called to be holy, but be perfect like our Father. What comes from our love of Christ should be the desire to do these good works, because we want to be like him and to please him, and not because we're doing them as a checklist to make sure we get into heaven. It's our motive and our heart need to be set right. And for me, the person who really exemplifies this is Mary. And this weekend, I was very blessed to be brought in to speak at St. Philip's Church in Greenville, Rhode Island, even in the snow. My husband's such a good egg. And he get out the one soul open sleigh. We have a Kia Soul. And he drove me in the horrible snow, and over 40 women ventured out to listen to the message God had for them. The theme was unshakable joy. And for me, the unshakable joy comes from living a life really united with Christ. And nobody exemplifies that like our Blessed Mother. So the whole talk, the very first talk of the morning, was really about Mary's joys. And that got me thinking, like, I would love to know more about Mary's joys. Her joys and her sorrows are intermingled. But the thing about joy and why it's so unshakable is because it's not attached to happiness. Happiness and earthly things are fleeting. But joy is the understanding that no matter what is your circumstances are, God is in the midst of them. And being attached to God in that way is joy. And that joy cannot be taken from you. Even in the most dire of circumstances, joy abounds when we believe and know that Christ is there, that God is working in our life, that we come to know and rely on the love that God has for us. That's in 1 John. And I love that line. It's probably one of my favorites in all the Bibles. I've come to know and rely on the love that God has for us. So today's show is going to be all about the seven joys of Mary. And actually, the next three shows, today's, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, is going to be me kind of fleshing out three book ideas I have, and you're going to help me decide which one to go with for that very first book in this new series called Catholic 24/7. I have the seven joys of Mary, seven invitations that changed my life, and seven characteristics of God that knocked my socks off. Yes, these are working titles. They'll probably change, except for the seven joys of Mary. I love the number seven. I was born on 7/7. Seven is the perfect number. As you saw last week, we had Vinnie Flynn here, and he has the seven secrets of the Eucharist, seven secrets of confession, and seven secrets of divine mercy. And I don't mean to steal his seven, but it's a pretty perfect number. And for me, I feel like this is the books I want to write, but I want your help. So we're going to talk today about the seven joys of Mary, Wednesday about the seven invitations, and Thursday about seven characteristics of God. And then I'm going to turn to you to vote and help me decide which one that I should spend January, because I'm going to be writing soon, spend January engulfed in. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart. That's where we are. With Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I was starting to look at my notes. I got so excited about what I had to share with you. I forgot what I was doing. Well, that's never happened. Right. Welcome back to A Seeking Heart. And today we're talking about the joys of Mary. I want to share seven joys with Mary. It's kind of the outline of a book that I am contemplating in my head, and we love your feedback and your thoughts on it as we kind of go through it. Today we're going to do seven joys of Mary, Wednesday, the seven invitations that changed my life, and Thursday, seven characteristics of God that knocked my socks off. God willing, I will write all three. I'm kind of really anticipating 2017 being a time where the Lord is calling me to write, and you're going to help me do that. I'm going to bring you along. And 2017, I said we're going to switch gears a little bit on the show. We're going to still look at books. Please, I'm the book nerd, the Catholic book nerd. And January 5th, I just booked Lisa Hendy. She'll be back here, so we'll still be having interviews. But I think for the most part, I really want to be delving into living the Catholic faith, a life and relationship with Christ in my day-to-day life, and really looking at that grace foundation, that grace trifecta of prayer, sacrament, and scripture. And I think that has a lot to do with, you know, these books that I want to write, these faith-sharing scriptural books. And I really would love for you to, you know, partner with me, help me out as we, you know, trying to make a difference in this world and in this waiting for Christ. Like, how do we prepare ourselves, and how do we make sure that when he comes, we are a sheep and not a goat, which makes me sad because I really like goats. I like goats better than sheep, but apparently it's not a goal. It's not a goal to be a goat, not a goal. Our goals, though, are to definitely take hold of all the joy that the Lord has for us. And that unshakable joy really does bring us closer to Him. So the first joy of Mary is the joy of grace. She was immaculately conceived, born without original sin, full of grace, this great gift from God to spare her from original sin, prepare her. She's still human, still could have sinned, but yet one of the greatest gifts God gave her in not having original sin is she didn't really have that concupiscence, that desire, that kind of tendency towards sin that you and I are born with. But yet she still could have made those choices. Luckily, she was filled with grace and did not. So what does it mean to be filled with grace? Why is grace such a joy? Well, grace is the undeserved yet freely given gift of God's Holy Spirit living within us. It's that Holy Spirit, God's Spirit within us, that really helps us to choose Him, to seek Him deeper, to make good choices, to desire to live in union, in union with Him. And it is really, truly a gift. And grace is only, it's only as abundant in your life as you ask for it, because grace is abundant and there's more than enough for everybody to live this life, very close union with God, this joy, this unshakable joy. But God is not going to break through into our lives. He's a gentleman. And as we see in the Lady of Grace, her image with her hands out extended, is actually the image on the miraculous medal. She's got rays of light coming from her fingers, and we're told that all of that coming from her hands are the graces that God has for us. Where we see light is the graces that people have accepted from Christ. Where we see darkness is the grace unused. Well, I like free stuff. And if there's unused free stuff out there from God, well, I need to know how to use it better. I need to know how to tap into and get, I just thought of Sally, Sally Brown on the Peanuts. I just want my fair share. I just want what's coming to me. That letter to Santa. Yeah. When she has that conversation with Linus or her brother, Charlie Brown, I forget who she has it with, but it just made me laugh. Just, I love that line. I just want my fair share. I just want what's coming to me. And it's very simple. We need to ask for it, and we need to live this grace-filled life. And this grace-filled life is one with prayer, sacrament, and scripture. It's a very simple equation. God never asks us the impossible. He never calls us to a task that you and I couldn't actually complete. He just wouldn't do that. That would just be mean. He does not mean. God is love. He cannot be what He is not, and He is love. And nothing that He asks of us is impossible. And the closer we spend, the more time we spend in prayer, sacrament, and scripture, the closer we will become to God, because the more grace that will be within us. We will be filled with grace. We'll never quite as filled with Mary this side of heaven, but we certainly have opportunity every single moment of every single day to take hold and ask for grace. Just something as simple as when you wake up in the morning, just acknowledging the day belongs to the Lord and just asking Him to be with you and asking Him for the grace that you need to complete whatever it is that He has for you in that moment. One of the joys that Mary shares with us is this joy of obedience. You know, this being open to do God's will. Let it be done to me according to your word. Whether she understood how it was going to happen or not, whether she had fears of what His will would look like in her life, she completely submitted to Him, and she was not disappointed. The grace poured out from God into her heart and sustained her in everything He had called her to. And that is such a, like, for me, just brings joy to my heart, because I struggle. I have anxiety. I worry. I live in constant fear. A woman was just in an accident in the Boston area. She was going to bring her child and two other children to school for the day. Somehow her car got stuck on the tracks. She was able to get the three kids out, but she was ended up the truck, the train hit her car and the car hit her. She has a very traumatic brain injury. Please keep her in your prayers this Christmas. Like, Lord, we just ask you right now. We're just going to pray for her name as Aviva. And we're just going to ask for a prayer, an outpouring of God's mercy and miracle. Like, Lord, you can perform miracles. We believe it. Please send a miracle to that family. She's got an 11-year-old son. She needs a miracle. So please keep her and her family in your prayers. But this story just shook me to the core, not just because she's a friend of a family member of mine, but also because it just shows you, like, your life is not, your destiny is not in your hands. And even if you think it is, we all face death. Eventually, there is that moment where we no longer live here on earth. We no longer exist here in the form that we are now. And we have that, what is next, right? The what is next question. And for me, because the Lord has showed me again and again in my prayer and in the miracles around me, and there's the little tiny things, the little God-cidences that he brings into my life, that he is real, and that I want to hold on to that hope. Faith is what is assured of and what we hope in or certain of. And we have no other assurance. No one else is offering me anything. My kids always say, Mom, why did you marry Dad? And I laugh and I say, well, no one else asked. But it's kind of true. No one else was asking. And it's kind of the same thing with the afterlife. Like, why do I have such hope in God? And why do I believe in heaven? Well, no one else is offering me anything. No one else is giving me this hope and this offer. So it'd be foolish not to embrace this hope that comes from believing in God and seeing all the wonderful blessings and miracles that he has brought into my own life, that it's just a joy and know that Mary was a real person and that she gave birth to the son. We have eyewitness accounts, and Luke's gospel is all eyewitness accounts. In there, we see the annunciation, the coming of the angel. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit, because that's the joy of faith. Then we have the visitation, the joy of serving others. We have the birth, the account, the birth of Jesus, the nativity, the joy of motherhood, both spiritual and physical. We have this reliance on the providence of God. Like, how many of us need to rely on God's divine providence as they fled to Egypt? And in all these things, as we watch Mary's life unfold, a human just like you and I, we can start to see the similarities in our life where God has provided for us, where God has given us that joy of perhaps motherhood. Again, every woman is called to motherhood, and we're called to either physical motherhood, adoptive motherhood, God motherhood, spiritual motherhood. We're all called because that's how we're created. And it's such a gift. And we see that we watch Mary as her life unfolds and these joys abound, that we have all these same things that we can hold on to, that we can, you know, take from God as gift. And it gives us that joy of hope. But first and foremost, it all starts with the gift of grace. It is a gift, and it needs to be received, open, and used for it to be useful. And there is great joy in this gift. And when we spend time in prayer, sacrament, and scripture, we have this close encounter with Christ. And with every encounter with Christ, we're never the same. And if anything, time in prayer, sacrament, and scripture will give you that assurance that maybe you need, like I do, that it's going to be okay in every circumstance, in every situation. God is there, God is in control, and that there is hope beyond today, that we have perhaps no control over our destiny and how we leave this world. We do certainly have control over where we go next. And that if we accept God as our in our lives, if we accept Christ as our Savior and live each day in that redemptive light of what Christ did for us, seeking him in daily prayer, moment to moment. St. Paul says, you know, prayer without ceasing, and our everyday moments of prayer. If we seek him in prayer, if we participate in the sacraments, go to reconciliation, receive the Eucharist when we're able, and to sit with him in adoration, as well as call upon our baptismal promises and our confirmation. And when we spend time in his word, that joy will be unshakable. We have much more here on A Seeking Heart with Alison Gingras on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're talking today about the joys of Mary, seven joys exactly, of Mary, looking for help in deciding which book to start with when I start to write for my first book for my new series, Catholic 24/7. And today I'm going to talk about the seven joys of Mary on Wednesday show, the seven invitations that changed my life, and Thursday show, seven characteristics of God that knocked my socks off. Yes, I'm hoping, God willing, I'll write all three, trying to decide which one to start with. You know, which one touches people's hearts and what answers are they looking for first and foremost? This is a very exciting new venture for me, Catholic 24/7. Be telling you much more about that in the new year and hoping to launch in Easter week of 2017. So please keep this project in your prayers. It's been pretty much all of 2016 praying about it and planning it and hoping in it and thought in my timing it would be out by now. But God's timing is not my timing, and God's timing is always perfect. So therefore, I will not fret nor be discouraged nor dismayed, but trust. Trust is hard. I didn't write that one down here today, that one of the joys of Mary was the joy of trust. Maybe that one should be instead of motherhood. I think perhaps I just put that down there. See, this is why we're going to talk about stuff on the show, because you're going to help me flesh out what needs to be said and what doesn't, and what, you know, as I'm talking to you, it's helping me really to just, you know, pull this stuff out of my heart. And you know, a lot of stuff rambles around inside my head. So being able to speak it out loud into the light, Christ can have he can have his way with it, and you can help me. So if there's anything I'm saying today or in the next two shows, Wednesdays and Thursdays, that you wish I had said more on, just... Oh, English language, you're so much fun. Get it? More on? No, that was stupid. Okay. It's like the other, Saturday's retreat of joy, I said, you know, I was full of it. Yep. I was meant full of joy. At least I didn't say that Mary was full of grace, full of it, meaning full of grace. I said that before, that Mary, talking about Mary, she was full of it. She's not full of it. Me? Yes. Yes. Very much. Very much fits that description. Mary, not so much. So today, we're looking at the joys of Mary. We started with the joy of grace in her Immaculate Conception and the power of grace in our life. Now we're going to look at the Annunciation. That is the appearance of the angel Gabriel to Mary. And when he announced to her that she would become the mother of Jesus, Jesus's birth foretold, as the Didache Bible that I use for most of my study and reading. It's Ignatius Press. This Bible is just so incredible because it gives you commentary based on the Catechism of the Catholic Church. So it's like two great tastes in one, right? It's like a Reese's peanut butter cup of Catholic books. You have the Bible and you have the Catechism all in one. And I love this Bible. I got it about 2 years ago now. And it's outstanding. I love Bibles that have commentaries in them. I think that's very important. They also have the Ignatius Study Bible, which is, again, very well done. But this one, I don't know, for me, the language is just, the commentaries are just a little bit more on my level. And I love that I have, again, those, not only the reflections that talk, or the commentaries that right here in the book give me teachings, but then I have the cross references to the Catechism if I want to go deeper, want to learn more. Good stuff. So we're going to look at the Annunciation. That's the appearance of the angel Gabriel, where he tells Mary the plan, the great plan. Now, there's like two, for me, like there's two joys here in one. Again, more, I must be really jonesing for a Reese's peanut butter cup or just peanut butter and chocolate. They go great together. Though I think I'll just go with peanut butter and bananas instead, a little more Weight Watchers friendly. But there's two there. There's this joy of faith. And for me, it's also this joy of obedience that Mary shows us, of being open to what God wants to do in her life. And the joy of faith, like she is able to receive this message and to respond to what God is asking her to do, because her soul soil is so fruitful. Yes. No. What's that word? You know, when it's, never mind. It's ready for it. Fertile. That's the word. It's fertile. Her soul soil is fertile. That's what I'm trying to say. And we see that she's prepared to, with the grace, full of grace, she's prepared to accept Christ into her life in a very profound way. She's going to physically accept Christ into her life. But to me, she's just this example of that joy. Like, what a joy-filled person she had to have been. Just so, because you can't be that in tune with God in your life and not be filled with joy. Because remember, joy is unshakable. It's not dependent upon circumstance of life. It is fully this understanding that God loves you. And God is in every moment in your life. He has you. He's not letting you go. You are safe in His clutches. That is joy. That's the thing that I try every day to obtain and kind of wipe away that tendency of myself to be anxious, to be depressed, to be fearful. Those things kind of, they want to have rule in my life. They want to reign in my life. That's why I have to renounce them. Like the spirit, in the name of Jesus, I renounce the spirit of fear. You know, I renounce the spirit of doubt in the name of Jesus. I renounce the spirit of anxiety and worry in the name of Jesus. That was given to me in prayer. Then I remembered I was looking for a book to read, and the Unbound book kind of just fell into my lap. Perhaps that's a book we should look at in 2017, Unbound by Neil, I don't even know how you pronounce his last name, Lorenzano? That might be close to it. Then I went to confession just the beginning of this month, and that was what the priest said to me. That was his advice to me when I told him the things that I was struggling with. He's like, you need to renounce these out loud. Like, let Jesus have them. If you think about this image of darkness. Think about your head being an enclosed little sphere, right? And think about words. Go back to your Sesame Street Electric Company days, or your Blue's Clues days, whatever it was for you. And picture these words that you speak actually being physical words, and they're kind of just rattling around in there, but they're in the dark. You know, especially if you close your eyes and block your ears and close your mouth and don't let anyone in and don't look to beyond yourself, like just really close yourself up. It's pretty dark in there. And who's the prince of darkness? Right? The devil. He loves the dark and he loves the lies. And in your head, he has full reign over all of those dark thoughts, those doubts and dismays and, the way that we talk to ourselves sometimes is so pathetic. You'd never talk to a friend that way. Yet you don't think twice about telling yourself that you're stupid, incapable, that nothing's going to change, that you're worthless. Like, you'd never think to say this to a friend. Yet we don't even hesitate sometimes to say this to ourselves. It's really quite remarkable how little sometimes we give ourselves credit and how little we love ourselves, where God loves us so completely. Like, you're created out of love. Maybe you don't feel that perhaps you were created out of the love of your parents, but you were certainly created out of the great love that God has for you. You think about God's love was so incredible that it begot a son. And their love together was so incredible, it begot the Spirit. And then they couldn't contain it between themselves that it spills out to you and me. We are created out of a great love that God has for us and His desire to have us with Him forever in eternity. And you and I could spend the rest of our lives trying to figure out what that looks like, but we'll never get it because it's not a reality that you and I even have privy to. It's a whole new way of living. And that I got from Finney Flynn's books last week as I was reading The Seven Secrets of the Eucharist, Seven Secrets of Confession, and Seven Secrets of Divine Mercy. the things that Vinny opened my heart to, I'm just so grateful that the Lord put those books in my life this week. They were perfectly timed for me to talk about joy. His timing is truly always perfect. It doesn't feel like it sometimes. You know, like bank account this year, praise the Lord, is far better than it was last year. We have money for Christmas, but it's still, there's still great worries. There's still credit card companies calling and saying, did you not remember to mail that? And me pretending that I forgot. Oh, oops. Just trying to make it through the holidays, right? There's so many things that weigh on us and can steal our joy. But the number one stealer of our joy is the devil in his lies, in that darkness. But just to finish that analogy, when we take those words and thoughts and speak them out, whether it's to a priest, a friend, to God in the heavens, if we speak them out loud, then He, the Prince of Light, takes hold of them and speaks truth into them. And you are no longer bound by the lie. You are free. Christ came to give us life and give it to us abundantly. He came to free the captives. He came to free us, to make us who we're created to be. And that is beloved sons and daughters of God. And you are a very, very beloved son and daughter, or daughter. And I think that's something you have to understand, that you are loved, that the core of Mary's joy is knowing that she is loved. Oh, there's another joy we have to look into. The joy, maybe there's more than seven. Maybe I shouldn't be confining myself. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. And please stay tuned. We have much more to come.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're talking today about the joys of Mary, the seven joys of Mary, which I have been kind of loosely changing as we went along and seeing there's much more than seven. So I have to figure out which seven would be the most interesting in a book. You're going to be helping me decide for 2017, which book to start the Catholic 24/7 series off with. The Seven Joys of Mary, Seven Invitations That Changed My Life, or The Seven Characteristics of God That Knocked My Socks Off. Working titles, of course. We're going to talk today, finish up today with the Joys of Mary, Wednesday, the Seven Invitations, and Thursday, the Seven Characteristics. Before we go on a little holiday break, we'll be back on December 29th and December 30th for two live shows, but we'll be off for the Christmas break from the 23rd on to the 28th. Yes, 28th and 29th. I'll be doing a year in review show. Kind of excited about that. Like, what's God been up to? And then so what was God up to in our last year on A Seeking Heart? And then the 30th, I'm going to do a resolution show. I have this tradition of making 10 lists of 10 things I want to try this year. I know, a little ambitious, a little crazy, but it's really kind of fun. It's more fun than it is, nerve-wracking or a little over-the-top ambition. But I hope you'll join me again, the 29th and the 30th, two live shows, review show, and then the resolution show. And today we're going to just finish up with the joys of Mary. I talked about the joy of grace, the joy of faith, the joy of trust, the joy of love. Now I want to look at the joy of serving others. And we see that when she receives this news and then she learns that her cousin is with a child, that the angel also lets, hey, by the way, not only is God creating new life in you, which is pretty remarkable, but And your cousin, who was considered barren, yeah, she's having a baby too. And she could really use your help. So she heads off to see Elizabeth, who is advanced in age. And I always giggle and I think, yeah, what was she, like 46? Which is younger than me. But Mary doesn't think twice. She doesn't think about all that's going on in her life. She realizes God's got that. And she sees the needs of others. And this truly is joy. There is great joy in helping others. You know, that old adage that the old adage that I obviously don't know very well. The greatest gift of giving is in receipt. No. The joy is in not what you give, but in what you receive. No, the other way around. What you receive but what you give. Oh my goodness, that's funny. It just pretty much gave away my thought process. I don't really care what I give. It's what I receive that's important. The joy is in giving, not receiving. And so she's been given this great gift, and then she sees somebody in need and off she goes. And if you've ever had the opportunity to help somebody in need, you see that you are blessed by that. And I really think it comes down to the fact that God is never outdone in his generosity. If he sees you going out and doing something beyond yourself and helping others and really giving of yourself, he's not going to be outdone in your generosity. He's going to just pour grace upon that moment. And the person you're helping is going to be blessed, and you are going to be blessed. Of course, that's never how we should go out and think, well, let me see, if I give $20, I wonder if God will fill my pockets with $60. And the blessing isn't always this quid pro quo. It could be a piece that you don't know. It could be something that he's, you know, a merit that he puts aside for when you're when you're faced in that final judgment. Or if you've consecrated yourself to Jesus through Mary, like I have, and you give, you're offering all your merits and graces to Mary to distribute where she sees fit, then you have no idea how your small act of helping another has been multiplied by God. And that, see, joy, like just saying it, it gives me joy to think, like, how has God multiplied my small acts of love for him, my small acts of serving others, the joy of serving others. And we see that in the visitation. We also see, I see the joy of motherhood, which I'm starting to think that that's probably not where God wants me to go with that. I think it comes to the joy of trust. And for the retreat that I gave on Saturday morning, again, thank you to St. Phillips and to Ellen for inviting me out. So many beautiful women I got to meet and connect with who braved the storm, hardy New Englanders that we are. One of the things I thought about was the difficulty of trust, and I put up on the screen two images. On the left was this perfectly designed and decorated cake. I watch way too much Food Network. I don't cook or bake, but I love Duff Goldman, and I love watching all the baking shows, the holiday baking championships and stuff. So, you know, that idea of making that perfect cake where the frosting is just, you know, perfectly executed, and maybe you got the fondant on just smooth, and your decorations are without flaw, and everyone oohs and ahs, and it tastes like heaven. It's just this wonderful cake. So there's our hope. Like when we come each morning, we wake up and we think, this is what our life, our day is going to look like. Every activity that we're going to try, every relationship is going to be that perfectly baked, decorated cake. So in the picture on the right that I put up was just a cake disaster. I actually Googled cake mess, and this is what came up. It was this lopsided, half frosted, no decorated cake that was falling apart, Leaning Tower of Cake Pisa there. And it's a disaster. And trust in God is knowing that even though I want the cake on the left, more likely I'm going to get the cake on the right. But both should bring me joy. Both should be filled with the understanding that God is in both recipes, and his love made both, and will bring it to good. And you never know, because that lopsided, messy cake may be the best thing you ever tasted. But it, on surface, it seems scary and afraid and frightening. And you're like, oh, I don't want anything to do with that cake. That's not what I asked for, Lord. And then you see what you asked for wasn't what God willed for you, but what God willed for you was far better than you ever imagined. Maybe the laugh around that cake was just what you needed. And again, maybe the taste is just beyond measure. And then somebody at the retreat said to me, and you could take that cake and you could turn it into a trifle or a parfait. Everybody loves parfait. Little Shrek there. You can put it into something and make something beautiful from it, something very tasty. You can add things to it, the pudding and the crumbled up cookies and the whipped cream, and it can become even something more than you ever imagined. Because God promises in Romans 8:28 to make good from all situations, make good of all things in those who love him. And in living that promise, we see that no matter what our cake comes out like, God's going to make good of it. And he's going to make more of it than we could ever see or imagine, whether it's here or in heaven. You know, we're often praying for people who are sick and we're asking for them to be healed. And some are healed here. They're miraculously healed in this world. And others, they die. And you think, well, that's not what I asked for. But yet you know that the Lord answered your prayer. They are healed. Wasn't in the way you wanted. But one of the things I learned when I was in Rio de Janeiro for World Youth Day, and we were nearly crushed on the beach, and it was the most scary experience of my life. The next day I was in, we got through, obviously. The next day I was in mass and I was on my knees and I'm like, Lord, I don't understand. Like, why would you bring me here? And I have such anxiety already and then bring me through such a situation. And the very first thing that came to my mind was the Lord saying, you have to understand that death is not a punishment. It is a reward. That death is not a punishment. It is a reward. And our reward is heaven, where there's no more pain and no more tears and no more sickness. And we get to be engulfed and enveloped back into God's great love in a way that we can't even fathom. And that's great joy. If we allow ourselves to believe in that and not in the woe, then we will have unshakable joy. Another one of the joys I wanted to make sure I got to was knowing that God loves you and that his divine providence will take care of you. I talked a little bit about that, but the experience of Mary that brings to mind when I think about this is their flight into Egypt. Like, they had no idea how they were going to take care of themselves when they got there, but either through Joseph's trade or perhaps that's what they did with that gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You ever wondered what happened to those gifts? They were able to take care of themselves. The two that I didn't get to today, but I guess we'll have to either revisit in 2017 or perhaps you'll have to wait for the book to come out. The Joy of Hope, where we see in that waiting for Jesus to be resurrected, for the Pentecost, that's where I see it the most. When Mary was there with that hope with the apostles, knowing that Christ would fulfill his promise to send the Spirit, and she helped sustain them in that hope through prayer. And that's the last one, the joy of pondering, the joy of communal and private prayer, that she had those circumstances where the shepherds came and she pondered those in her heart. When Simeon told her of the joy and the sorrow, that this was truly the Messiah, but yet her heart would be broke, would be pierced, that she there pondered these things in her heart. Quite often we see that a few other times in the scriptures where Mary is faced with a difficult situation, something she doesn't understand, you know, like when Jesus is lost and he's found, and it's a joy that she finds him, but yet his words are kind of puzzling, but she doesn't lose hope. She doesn't, she doesn't decide that I don't understand this, so therefore it can't be true. She just brings it to prayer and lets God's love just seep into it. His grace and his Holy Spirit help her to understand and to grow closer to him. Mary's joys are our joys. And if this is a book you think that we should start with, send me a message, Allison@breadboxmedia.com, and say, yes, go with that one. I will see you on Wednesday when we talk about the 7 invitations that changed my life. You've been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.